Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. The art of sound is something those of us in radio take seriously. And a new exhibit at Boston's Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum is highlighting audio with several different installations, both in the museum and in areas of the city. The intent is to draw attention to sounds, ranging from what we hear in nature to what we hear in an urban fire station. We recently went to the museum courtyard to meet with one of the curators and one of the artists, Li Mingwei, who designed the exhibit Small Conversation.
I'm Pieranna Cavalchini, the Tom and Lisa Blumenthal Curator of Contemporary Art at the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum. And we're standing now in one of the most magical spaces in Boston, the Gardner Courtyard.
And we're here for an exhibit that's also taking place in the courtyard that has some amazing sound.
Yes, this exhibit is called Listen Here, The Art of Sound, and it actually permeates the entire museum, both the new wing and the palace. But the core of this exhibition is here in the courtyard, the soul of the Gardner.
And what are we listening to right now?
We're listening to a wonderful sound work by Li Mingwei, who's sitting next to me, and who is someone who's an artist in residence who has been at the museum many times.
Can you describe this work, what we're hearing?
Yes, hello, I'm Mingwei. This is a work, a new work, called Small Conversations. It is a site-specific project. When you come to the gallery or the courtyard, you hear these exotic sounds from the rainforest of Taiwan, frogs, cicadas, crickets, and they are all night calls. So what happened is that I actually made all these sounds. It's not...
Wait, you?
Yes, I created all the sounds. So it's not really sounds from nature. Because I wanted to add another level to this artificial environment that Mrs. Gardner has created in a most poetic and beautiful way. She brought all these things from Venice to share with us. All the plants here are real plants, but they are artificial in the sense that there's absolutely no insects in them. They are taken away just because of conservation purpose. You can't have insects in these. By adding a night call landscape to this very artificial environment using human sound, that really sort of amps it up a little bit more.
You know, of course, I have to ask you to make those sounds for me. So can you do it right now, like on cue? Can I say, make the frog sound?
Of course.
Okay.
Great, because you're in tune with the courtyard. The frogs were singing in the courtyard too.
Yes,
so.
Yeah. So there are about 17 different tracks of different kind of sound I made, and then that's what you hear here. When I was young, I was a little bit autistic. Before I know how to speak, I would go into the bamboo forest behind my parents' home in Taipei. I would just play with the dirt and mimic all the insect sound I hear without realizing I was doing that. So when I came back to the house, my mom would say, well, honey, do you want to wash your hands? I would answer in frog calls or insect calls, and my mom just thought this is a really weird child. I'm still weird, but it took me all these years to create a project that is really in my DNA, these insect calls. That is so much a part of my soundscape inside of me. The sound that really, really closest to me is sound of nature, of these small creatures that are making calls of survival. Basically, they're mating calls, saying, here I am, here I am, where are you?
Yeah. What's the most challenging sound to mimic, do you think?
The most challenging sound is the cicada, because I remember in those forests, right before the big storm arrives, for about 5 minutes, there's a perfect silence. And then the storm arrives, right? After the storm finishes, in about a minute, So there's another minute of perfect silence, and suddenly that cicada sound just completely exploded. And for me, it was very difficult to mimic that kind of fluidity and explosive power, those thousand cicadas singing in one single second. And I can only mimic 1,000% of what it is.
What's that sound? Very nice.
As you can see, my breath is very short. I wish I had a longer breath like cicadas.
Now, how long does it take you to work? It must have taken a long time for you.
We did about 4 or 5 sessions of recording, just because every time there is something I want to add a little bit more. And that was it. This whole project about 4 years, really. But there's no alteration of pitch or rhythm. It's just a complete, very raw recording.
And then you wanted things on a shuffle system, right? Because you wanted it to have a random aspect to it.
Exactly. So we have 4 machines in here. Each machine does its own shuffling of 17 tracks. Therefore, there's never a repetition that... It's infinite combination of things. So sometimes you hear them as answering each other's call. It's really just our imagination.
And so tell me what you think about in terms of bigger ideas about listening, right? Mm. I mean, and both of you, I think I'd like to ask this question too. What do you think it's saying when we have an exhibit of sound about the way we listen now? And I see people listening all the time, walking with headphones on, but they don't know I'm driving next to them, right? So what does this exhibit mean for listening, and what do you think it means, especially for someone who listens so closely in nature?
Yes. I really hope that when people come to experience this unusual exhibition, it's audio exhibition, not visual, that they try not to talk or make noise. So I think it'll be really beautiful once they pass through the threshold into this palace. Make sure they don't speak for 20 minutes and just experience the museum with silence. But they're really not silence. It's really a canvas to present all these amazing voices and sounds of water, of insects, of seeing people singing. And you'll be transformed when you leave, because you just had 20 minutes of silence, but the richest silence you ever had.
What do you think?
Well, I think listening takes time, and listening carefully means having new experiences and deepened experiences, because sounds unfold, and they unfold in layers. So the more you listen, the richer the experience, the deeper the experience. And I think this museum is really about, it has many immersive qualities to it. I mean, you can hear Mingwei's sounds in the courtyard, but you also hear what Isabella Stewart Gardner did. She had, you know, fountains running. I mean, she was aware of sounds too. She had birds in the museum singing. So it just fits in so beautifully here, and at the same time really gives people the opportunity to slow down and to be more aware of their environment. And this will influence them, as Mingwei was saying, also when they leave the museum, because then they'll be more aware of the sounds in their own lives, the sounds they make and the sounds that surround them.
I'm wondering how you went from a young child who loved to mimic these sounds to then realizing that there was something very creative about these sounds, and they might say something about the human experience and might appeal to a lot of people. How did that happen?
Maybe the way to answer that question is that when I first walked into this beautiful courtyard in 1999, and the gardener at that time say, I told her, this is such a beautiful space, but there's something odd in here. And she looked at me and she said, tell me what's wrong. What do you think? What is odd about this space? I said, there's no sound in here except the water. Where are the insects? So that, again, was so embedded in me. I think that transformation of from a small child who just spoke in insect language to me now, the transformation is very gradual. I started speaking human languages, so I started learning Taiwanese and Mandarin and English, Italian, French, and now I'm learning French. And I was trained in violin, also classical violin. So I had a very rich training in sound in many different forms. But I still think that the sound that really, really closest to me is sound of nature.
And this is just one part of the sound exhibit that's going on here. Describe for me maybe one or two of the others.
There are 9 works in all. Those run until September 5th. And we have another work upstairs in the Dutch Room, which is a very moving piece. As you know, there was a theft in the museum in 91, and one of the paintings that was stolen was a Vermeer painting, a marvelous, very precious painting about a concert. And this artist found a way of bringing the painting to life through sound. So if you stand in front of this painting, you hear the concert emerged from the painting. And it's a concert. I mean, you see the concert, but it's actually a rehearsal. You hear the singers talking, preparing, then singing. It's very, very moving.
So now you've got the public installations, if you will, and then you've got this, which is very different in nature. What do you hope people take from this?
Well, I hope they become more aware, more self-aware, and more aware of the atmosphere and the environments around us, more conscious of their state of mind and how sound can impact their state of mind. So it's really about the social as well as the aesthetic.
What do you hope people take from this?
I hope they can just go back to the garden and learn how to make frog calls from their friends in the garden.
I think that's great.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
It's so great to speak with you. Come. I hope your audience all come and visit us.
Absolutely. And thank you so much.
My great pleasure. Thank you.
That's artist Li Mingwei and Pirana Calvacchini, co-curator of the exhibit Listen Here, The Art of Sound. The exhibit at the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum runs through September 5th. The exhibit features installations at the museum and off-site, and it also features an app. You can find more information about it at our website, radioboston.org.